The service the Lord's been putting on my heart, the gift of hunger and the gift of thirst. And the psalm that comes to mind is Psalm 63, where David says, "Oh God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh, it faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Then it says, "But I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will praise you." So we behold your power, God. We behold your glory. And Lord, once we've tasted of you, we're ruined for anything else this world has to offer. And Lord, that's what you're doing in this day. That's what you're doing in this generation, Lord. You're raising up an army who says, God, because your love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So, Lord, we're believing you, God. Let that army of praise rise up now. And, Lord, we praise you, God, because your love is better than life. Your love is better than wine, anything this world has to offer. Lord, we lift up a voice of praise and we say, yes, God, you're worthy. God, you're worthy. You're holy. You're righteous. You're awesome in all your ways, God. There is none like you. There is none like you, God. Holy are you. Righteous are you. You are my God. Lord, I seek your face and not just your hand, because you're worthy, God. You're worthy to be praised. Holy God, righteous God, almighty God and Father, the first and the last. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, you know, in this country, sometimes, like, we have so much that we sometimes can forget, like, what we already have, what God's done for us. So, we have to, like, remember that, like, what we have shouldn't be taken for granted. Amen. I mean, like, take a house, for example. I mean, it's a house. But in another country, some people, like, live in huts. So what we have is, like, so fancy. So, like, always remember to thank God for what we have and show your gratitude.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You are good. You are good. You are
I was working in the basement a couple weeks ago on the computer, and I was for a long time, and I went and laid on the sofa for a while. Got on the sofa, and I just, you ever have one of those blurt prayers? You just blurt out something, you don't know, wow, what did I say that for? But I said, Lord, I want to go deeper. And he said, as long as you can see your own reflection, you can't go deeper. And I was like, okay. And then I had a picture of, you know, when you are in a pool of water, as long as you can see your reflection, you're not under. You go deep, you go deeper, you go up to your neck, you can still see yourself. And we need to get to a place in God, I believe, where we don't see ourselves at all. We see God in his holiness, God in his abundance, not our need. We see God's abundance.
Good word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. I just came back late, really late last night from a Global Awakening School of Worship. So, yeah, I'm still processing a lot of things that I experienced. But Steve Swanson was one of the guys that was leading it, and he was talking about Yahweh, his name Yahweh. And the way that he did it, it was just so intense. And I just, as I was sitting in the back, I was like, you know, remembering, and I felt like the Lord was saying, well, why don't you do that in front and share it with everybody? So,
thank you, Lord.
When you look at the word Yahweh, it's like YHWH. So how do you pronounce that? This is what he's saying. And then he says, Yahweh. Yahweh. Like that, like breathing. Yahweh. Yahweh. You are Yahweh. Yahweh. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we lift up your name. We lift up your name, Lord. We worship you, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would enable us to really get more of a fuller revelation of your name.
Just such a deeper hunger for the Lord. There was just this call up, this hungriness. And I was so hungry spiritually. And I came home later that day and I felt so full. I wasn't hungry physically. It was just spiritually. I was so hungry. And I feel like he's offering that to us. Even today, there's just this hunger. And if you don't have it, just ask him. Ask him, Lord, I want to be hungry for you. I want to be more hungry because he's about ready to really fill us up. So get ready.
That's right.
Bob, can I amen that?
Amen that. Okay, I was going to amen. You amen it first.
Okay, me first?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you. Ladies first.
Age before.
All right.
I win.
If you're going to do a takeaway from today, you know, I do a lot of presentations at work, and we always put a little takeaway thing at the bottom of the slide. Just something that you want to remember. If there's a lot of information on the slide, you want to read the bottom line. The bottom line today is get hungry. Did you hear it today? Did you? Get hungry. Get hungry. Go ahead, Melissa.
It was 1 year ago, January, when... at the end of our service, I hadn't really heard from the Lord that day anything specific. Worship was wonderful, but I said, Lord, I want to hear your voice. What are you saying? What are you doing? And all of a sudden, I got this mental image. It's a little funny. I got this mental image of, you know where pigs live in the sty, you know, their little hut where they live? All of a sudden, I saw all the pigs flying out of there because somebody had just dumped their slop over. Their food was there. The farmer came and put the food there, and they came scrambling out of there and just gobbling it up. Do you remember, April, I shared it with you, and you said, that means what the Lord said, because I didn't know what he's talking about. And she said, that's because he's asking you, how hungry are you? And it's been one full year, and I've seen... this is what we just can't get enough.
Amen.
And we want to be there. We want to be that hungry. That as soon as someone puts the word in front of us, it's like, consume.
And it was like a shift, too. I really felt it last Sunday. It was a feeling that I really felt different, really different. So there's more.
How hungry are we?
It's been really a while since, other than last week, since I've been here. And it's amazing because you really, really find out where you are with God when you're by yourself, when you have like an intimacy and a hunger, like that you're not going to let the dissatisfaction of not being able to get to a building or get anywhere stop you from pressing into the glory. Whoa! And like when I went to Global Awakening, like it's, gosh, what, like a year ago or something happened to me. And I got prayed for by Rhiannon Clark, and the Holy Spirit hit me, and I roared like a lion. I never understood what it was. I mean, it was like horrendous. Ever since then, every time, whoa, the Holy Spirit comes on me, I'd roar like a lion. And last night I got a word, and the word was that God wants to roar, that the Lion of Judah wants to roar over his people. I didn't know what she said. You have the roar like a lion. She said, but there's something in that. So when I'm sitting here and I was listening and I was praying, I kept on getting the roar of the Lion, the Tribe of Judah roar. And it was saying revival, 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 revival. Everybody's saying, when is revival? Oh, revival's coming. Everybody keeps on saying, well, has revival hit Baltimore? I said, we're in revival now. It's like everywhere, man. It's breaking out of small pockets here, there, and everywhere, but it's everywhere. But the thing that came back to me is the lion of the tribe of Judah wants to roar over his people. Because when the lion roars, the demons, the evil things depart. They just run. When a lion roars, whatever's in its vicinity is like, ah, you know what I mean? It's just like roar. So I just feel like I'm supposed to like just let the Holy Spirit lead me and roar over the congregation.
Just back off the mic a little.
Oh, yeah, double set. All right.
You can do it
in the mic.
We'll roar with you.
We know who you are.
I know.
Thank you, Lord. You can have a seat if you want, Brian.
The roar, Lord.
Yes.
Release the roar. The lion of the tribe of Judah roars. Mm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And the enemy has to flee in Jesus' name.
That's right. Yep.
Hungry for you,
Yahweh. Thank you, Lord. The thing that when Pam was sharing, she talked about, she said, getting into the Lord's presence, she got ruined. I like that expression, ruined or wrecked, because when you think about you ruin your car or you wreck your car, it ain't what it used to be, okay? So when we get wrecked, we're not what we used to be, okay? And we're something closer to what God wants us to be, more in His image. Gazing upon the Lord, gazing upon His beauty, we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And that's what it's all about, getting in the presence, getting the glory within us. Okay, it's good to have God do good things for you, but it's a whole lot better to have God in you. I'll say that again. It's good to have God do good things for you, but it's better to have God do His good thing in you, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Whoa, this has been great. Oh my.
Please to stand. Brian. Okay. Yeah. When Brian kept going on and on, there's something that's happening in our family. And when he went on and on and declaring one of God's names, I had to bring this forward. As both a prophetic act and something that's happening in the natural. And the Lord tells us His principle is that first in the natural and then the supernatural. Okay, so those of you who know our Simeon, who is our firstborn, and he was the first child dedicated in this congregation by Pastor Fred, first baby dedicated. We got a call this morning. They're expecting, for those people that didn't know that, and Paul and I are expecting our first grandchild. She's 4 minutes apart in her labor as of this morning, and things are starting to pass from her body. We'll say it that way. Not the water yet. But anyway, the child's name is Judah, okay? And so I'm declaring that as they are entering into birth pangs and labor and birthing of Judah praise, the Lion of Judah, that this is happening. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Sort of. Okay. I didn't know whether to share this or not, but it seemed like I was getting a little compelled. Last night, I was dreaming, and I usually don't remember my dreams, but it was like there was land, like a geographic land, but I don't like know like what it was, whether it was the world or whether it was, I don't know. All I know is maybe it was just the U.S., I just don't know. But all over the land, in all, like everywhere, they do.
Let me hold this.
Okay.
Use your hands.
There was like everywhere, I mean, not this close, but everywhere there was like a fire burning, a small fire. but like spread out all over the place. And the only thing I could think of is like it was like tons of campfires, like little campfires, which I took to be the Lord, you know, in groups of groups of people, like spread out all over the countryside, wherever that was.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Doesn't that confirm Brian's word of revival being all over the place, all around Baltimore? Yeah, huh? That's right.
From Pennsylvania, and she and her mom were there. Kari was sitting on the bench with her right shoe off, and her mom was tending to her foot. So I asked her if she was okay, and she said, her mom showed me this giant tack-like thing that she had stepped on and gone right through her shoe into her foot. So I said, well, I have a first aid kit in my car. Let me go and get it. I'll be right back. So I gave them, you know, I had an alcohol swab and some antibacterial ointment and Band-Aid and stuff. And I said, and we were talking about how she had had, you know, a tetanus shot within the last 10 years when she was in sixth grade. So I was saying, that's good. I'll pray that she's going to be okay. And they were really grateful. The mom thanked me like 3 times. And, you know, even as I'm walking away, she's thanking me again. And she was amazed because she said they had just been on a trip all the way down in Florida and beyond, and nothing had happened, and here they are almost home, and this happens. But anyway, as I was driving away, it suddenly dawned on me what had happened. And I said, Lord, you set this up. You had me in exactly the right place at exactly the right time for me to just give them these simple little supplies.
Amen.
Jump over my pastor. Pastor jumping. It's the new thing. Okay, I felt like that little compelling thing. For a while now, I talked to some people. John Christensen said I should share this, so I've been waiting for the chance. This is about Nicholas. And we have a lot of new people that maybe don't know Nick, so I just want to tell you a little bit quickly about him, and it's a testimony about him. The Lord uses Nicholas. So, I mean, I feel like a lot of times the Lord has said to me, you know, really have patience, because I really speak through him. You know, we all know that maybe sometimes that's not happening. But I don't remember when it was. It was either December or January. I was wanting prayer for something, and I grabbed Terry, and I said, would you pray for me? And Allison was there, so they were both going to pray for me. And Nicholas jumped in, and he said, Miss Allison, I really want to pray for Miss Lisa. I feel like the Lord wants to say something to Miss Lisa. So Terry sat him down next to me, and he started praying. He's like, Miss Lisa, you are pregnant in heaven. So, well, it was. I mean, I've been wanting the Lord to open, to birth things that I feel like haven't happened. Or, well, after that happened, it was a couple weeks, and it was the first time, many of you will remember, we had the fire tunnel. Well, I wasn't part of that. I just happened to be sitting in the back of church, and in worship, I just was feeling this thing in me, like this presence of the Lord. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're filling me up. My hands are burning. And so they said that they were going to do the fire tunnel. So I was like running up to Melissa, and I was like, Susie, wherever she is. And I was like, I know I'm not supposed to be part of this, but I feel like I'm supposed to be. So I jumped in, and I don't know, the Lord, I was pregnant in heaven. That's all I got to tell you. There was the prophetic and the words of knowledge were coming out of me ever since then when I'm a part of that fire tunnel. And John was encouraging me about that. And I was like, well, you know, so Nicholas gave me that word. And just to emphasize a little bit more about that, that is not a one-time deal, because last week after everybody left, we were setting up. Oh, hi. We were setting up for to give food to the people that came to visit us. And there was this one lady that spoke Russian, and apparently she didn't speak English. And Anton wanted to pray for her. she went down on the ground, and he just grabbed my hand and stuck it on her, and I was praying, you know, I don't know what I was praying. I just put my hand on her while he was praying, and he was saying stuff in Russian, and then Nicholas saw us and came down and sat next to her. He put his hand on her. Anton left, and Nicholas said, "I'm praying for her kidneys." Well, guess what was wrong with her? I found out after the fact she was getting prayer for her kidneys. We didn't know. We didn't speak the language. So, you know, the Lord is moving. He's moving through Nick. Whatever, something else had come up in our conversation that brought this to kind of up to me was having patience for each other. In our, some people we're kind of have affinity with, and some people we don't. But the Lord uses all of us, brothers and sisters, and we just want to see His kingdom come. So,
amen. Amen. That's right. Do I need to hold it?
No, you're fine. I just want to testify to Jesus and His goodness. And, you know, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Me and Randy used to, I believe we're going to be doing it again, do a House of Hope, going out and ministering to the girls and go pray for them and prophesy. There was a few of them that, you know, we would pray for on a regular basis. They would come, and one of them was named Mother Goose. And last night, well, Chris took me out to the restaurant, and last night, we were getting out of the car after we came back from the restaurant. We were getting out to go to the Alliance meeting. And lo and behold, here comes Mother Goose, right? Now, Chris never knew her, right? So she's coming up to us, right? She goes, "Hey, remember me?" And Chris is like looking at her like, "Oh, we're getting ready to pray for her," right? And Chris goes, "Well, we can pray for you right here," right? She goes, "Oh, no, wait until we get into things." And he goes, "Oh, well, what's your name?" And I said, "Mother Goose." He says, "You're kidding me." And I go, like, you know, and I said, "No, really, her name is Mother Goose," right? So anyway, so she comes in, right? So she's followed. So we said, "We'll just walk in." So she comes in. It is kind of funny. But anyway, so she comes in. So we're in there. We're praising, worshiping the Lord. It is kind of funny. So we're in there. We're worshiping the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says, "In my name you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover you, cast out demons." You know? Well, we know miracles and signs and wonders follow the believer. And so I'm up there and I'm worshiping the Lord. Now, what's Lewis's wife's name?
Doris.
Doris comes up and says, "Hey, she wants prayer for repentance. But she wants you to be there." So she calls me back there, and so we go back there. And so we're in the front, and we got her on the side, and we're praying for her. Well, I said you don't want to repent. You want to rededicate yourself, because didn't she tell us? She told us she was saved, right? But she had just having problem with alcohol. So we were praying for her. So I led her in rededication prayer, right? And so the whole time she's like saying, she says, "I want Jesus to forgive me. I want Jesus to forgive me. I want Jesus to forgive me." So I said, after she said, I said, "Look, it's settled in your heart. He's forgiven you," right? So her facial expressions changed, and she says, "I want this thing out of me," right? And I was like, "Okay, whoa, right?" So I'm like sitting there looking at her, right? You know, and I mean, her whole facial expression was changing, right? So Doris says, "Oh, well, we need to pray for her for the Holy Spirit." So I put my hand on her belly and I'm praying for her. And I said, "Fire, God, I'm praying for her." I said, "Release the Holy Spirit." And then I told her, I said, "The same way you receive forgiveness for your sins, you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I said, "Now say, I've received the Holy Spirit." So she did, right? And so the whole time, but her facial expression was like, I mean, it was like, you could see something was there. So I commanded the spirit of alcoholism to leave her. And whoa, I washed her stomach. No lie, just like sink. Like, and her whole face, she jumped up. She says, "It's out of me, it's out of me, it's out of me, it's out of me." Starts running through the church and goes up to the front and starts like she's like screaming and yelling in front of while everybody's doing worship. "It's out of me, it's out of me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me." It was amazing. But I'm saying this to say this, not to bring glory to me.
God delivered me and set me free from devil worship. He set me free from alcoholism. He set me free from everything. I mean, totally, literally broke the chains. I mean, I used to say that my butt was on fire. You know, that's how close I was to hell. But Jesus, he saved me. He delivered me and he set me free. And so she said to me, she said, you know, you have a deliverance ministry. And I said, well, you know, shut up. I pray for people, but there's like very few that actually seen where I seen a demonic spirit like leave, but I seen it. I seen her stomach sinking and her whole facial expression change. And I feel like this, that the Lord is saying that I'm not limited to one person. I want this to be the norm. Wherever you go, you walk in this, right? You have the authority in Jesus' name to cast out devils, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You have that authority. All you need to do is declare a decree. When you walk in the door, he's like, the kingdom's here. You know what I mean? You take it with you. The glory is with you. You know what I'm saying? The demons tremble and flee, and they know. They know you're carrying something because you'll notice it'll be like, people be walking out of your way and stuff. I'm just saying, don't be limited. Don't let God limit you from moving into glory because he wants to use you everywhere you go. Everybody here, he wants to use you. That's right. Amen.
Thank you, Brian. Sue, can you? Okay, we got time for two more. So, Sue, if you can find your way around.
Randy, were you going to have something to say today to share with us?
I have something if I can.
I'll be really quick, but I remember in January you challenged us to do the unusual, to reach out to people that we maybe wouldn't even choose to speak to or acknowledge. And I was over in the Dulles Airport area yesterday picking up my sister from a conference, and these little Chinese women were running around, and one of them came and she asked to pray for us, so we had her pray for us. And then I said, is there something we can do for you? And she said, well, she needed to get the Chinese bus to New York. So I said, I'll take you to the Chinese bus. So I drove all the way. I didn't even know where the Chinese bus was. But I knew that it was through the tunnel. So we went all the way from Dulles Airport area to the Chinese bus. And we got her things out of the trunk and got her onto the Chinese bus. And there was this lady standing there who had just gotten off the Chinese bus. And she's looking for a ride or looking for somebody. So I said, do you need a ride? And I truly am not patting myself on the back, but I had this challenge in my spirit to just offer her a ride. And she was Spanish speaking, so we didn't communicate very well. But
looking for the Mexican bus?
But she spelled her address, so we got it into the GPS and we found her house. And so she was so grateful for us helping her out. And she didn't know who she was going to get to pick her up. But those were just funny little opportunities. But I remembered that you had shared, and we gave you a chance to talk. And I acknowledge that you challenged my spirit.
Going the extra mile, that's right. The Chinese bus is up in White Marsh, isn't it? Okay. You want 10 minutes?
Yeah.
All right. Does anybody want Randy to have 10 minutes? All right. We're going to give him 10 minutes.
You get 10 minutes. I really want to engage you in prayer for somebody that I work with. I've been working with this woman for several years. I love her. She's one of my best friends now. And as I was getting to know her, I discovered that she used to be a born-again Christian, and she worshiped through her teen years in a church that was a bit cultish, but she was poured out. She was on the worship team, and then she walked away from it all. And I don't know all the circumstances of that, but it had to do with freedom for herself. And I also know that she had a baby to term that died. And it was very significant. And I've been ministering in little ways, very little, you know, because I don't want to offend her, over the course of several years. I'm praying for her. And she had been wanting to have a baby very badly, even though she's older, and she has one child. And she got pregnant recently. And we were thrilled, and I know she saw that as a God thing because she's been taking these steps towards God and talking to me and now bringing things up to me about Jesus. Well, she lost the baby. And I was concerned. What is this going to mean? You know, praying to the Lord about it. And so she seemed to be steady, which was thrilling. And now... She's a singer, as I said. She was on the worship team. And there's a group at Hopkins that sings. It's a Christian group called United Voices. And they had talked about her maybe being part of that as her awakening was happening. Well, today, for her birthday, she has decided to go see United Voices. And she is thrilled about what's going to happen for her. And I want prayer for her. There's another piece of this puzzle, one little piece of the puzzle I want to share, and that is I coach people and I teach at work. And there's one woman that I had a feedback coaching session with, and that was this week. And she was sharing with me on a deeper level. The Lord just came in, and it was just His Spirit.
Amen.
And she, her father had been killed just about seven months ago. And she was she's sort of a nominal Christian. I had a chance to minister to her and to talk to her about the love of Jesus. And it was really incredible. Like, she was in my class that the same woman I've been talking about before was in last week. And I was wanting to go with my friend today, but I knew I couldn't manage it. And she said, so-and-so, the woman who I ministered one-on-one to, is going with her to this. So these two women that God has used me to speak to are together in a few hours today watching a Christian group sing. So I'm just going to ask, can you pray with me? Lord, we just come together in prayer with a unified voice here ourselves, and we ask you, dear Jesus, that you would minister to these two women in the deepest part of their souls, that you would minister healing and revelation of your love for them and revelation of your power, and that they will be walking with you all the days of the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right, Randy, come on up. Well, everybody please stand. Okay, we've been sitting for a while. And if you don't get dizzy like Sandy, then just kind of turn around one way, then turn around the other way, and stretch. That's it. You'll feel a little better. And you'll feel much better once Randy starts here.
Thank you. Yeah, you can sit back down. This has been a great morning. And I know you're thinking, why is this guy up here? And thank you that you love me, and thank you that I'm happy, and thank you that you're happy. But the reason I felt compared to share, and I think I can do this in 10 minutes, so pray for a miracle, okay? I want to anchor what you've heard this morning in the Word of God. And it's amazing to me, it shouldn't be amazing to me, I guess, but so many of the testimonies fit in with what I'm going to share with you. And I had no idea that was going to happen this morning. I did have an idea we might have a lot of testimonies. In fact, I said to Bob, hey, if there's not time for me to share, that's fine. And both Fred and I feel that way, which, by the way, we need to be praying for Fred. He's really having to endure a difficult time. He's in Miami, Florida. As we're on the verge of our next snowstorm, so actually we need to pray for us, for the spirit of jealousy that won't come over us. So, I tell you. So, and I heard last Sunday it was such a dry, calm, sorry, I missed that. As I think some of you know, I was at a memorial service for Rebecca Petrie. It was incredible time. About 300 people were there, and they fed everybody dinner, and they had 2 hours of testimony about her life that were just, it was remarkable, absolutely remarkable. But let me just, Fred and I have been sharing about what is the church, what are we as a family, and borrowing from Fred's last message where he said, we quoted from Paul Manwaring, who said, heaven's government is family. It's all about family, which is to say, relationship. And then we'd also said this, that God has chosen us to be members of his heavenly family. God has joined us together as members of his earthly family, and God has called us to serve one another as his family, the body of Christ. I mean, you know, I think we sort of take that for granted, and I'm not saying that in a critical way or a judgmental way, don't hear me, but we fail to realize that God has called us to be a part of his heavenly family. I mean, isn't that awesome? I mean, that is phenomenal. The day you give your life to Jesus, you start your destiny in eternity. It doesn't happen after you die. It starts at that moment. You are joined with all the saints who have gone before us and all those who will follow us. It's awesome. But he's also joined us to an earthly family. He doesn't say, well, wait till you get to heaven, then you'll be with your family. He says, I want you with family right here and now. And therefore, he's called us to serve one another. Isn't that wonderful? Just absolutely wonderful. So we have here what we call an epic calling, every person involved corporately. And borrowing from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who asked, how many of you would like to be involved in ministry? And a lot of people, yeah, I want to minister. Okay, so Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, here's some of the ministries we need to give ourselves to. The ministry of holding our tongues. Whoa, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that one. The ministry of listening. Wow. The ministry of meekness. The ministry of proclaiming. The ministry of bearing, which is what Fred talked about last week, and the ministry of helpfulness and authority, which I'm going to look at in just a few minutes. So Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I just want to say parenthetically, I am so blessed at the way this church does that. I am just so thrilled. There are many churches where the pastor is the guy. You know, and he has to be everywhere. He has to pray for this person in the hospital. He has to go to that person's house. And most of these guys look really ragged because that's all they're doing, and they burn out. And that's not the way God intended it to be, you know. We were over at the Gortons the other day, Lynn and I were, and taking a meal, and I don't want to focus on that. The point I want to focus on, that as Linda was sharing, I was just so blessed to hear how many people have been involved in helping John and Linda Gorton. Bringing meals, taking Linda to the hospital, coming over and praying for her. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on and on. And I'm saying, wow, this is the body of Christ. This is the way God intended us to operate, to bear one another's burdens. Bonhoeffer said it this way. He said, it is the fellowship of the cross to experience the burden of another. If one does not experience it, the fellowship he belongs to is not Christian. If anyone refuses to bear that burden, he denies the law of Christ. So in just a few minutes here, I want us to see how a proper view of authority leads to a ministry of helpfulness. A proper view of authority leads to a ministry of helpfulness. There are so many, and I'm looking at not a necessarily extremely young age group of people. But I remember as a young man, and some of you remember when you were young men and young women, oh man, I want to be a leader. I want to be on the forefront. I want to be on the cutting edge of what God's doing in this earth. I want to be out there. And, you know, and there's this sense of power and leadership and authority, but it's contrary to what Jesus said. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what Yahweh did. I like that. Yahweh. That's what he did. Amen. Just enjoy it there, Lisa. Bonhoeffer again says it this way, Jesus made authority and the fellowship dependent upon brotherly service. The genuine spiritual authority is to be found only where the ministry of hearing, helping, bearing, and proclaiming are carried out. Yes and amen. Paul, writing in Philippians, says this. He says, and this, I was going to read the whole larger part of the chapter here, verses 1 through 11, but in the interest of time, we'll just look at these few verses. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, rather made himself what? Nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Amazing, isn't it? So, what can we take away from the story of the Good Samaritan? When I was hearing Lynn's story, when I was hearing what Sue did the other day, when I heard her story, what did it remind you of? Didn't it remind you of the Good Samaritan? Yeah. And I do want us to look at that just for a minute here, the Good Samaritan. And if you remember the story, Jesus is telling it. The religious leaders are asking the question. They're saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, how many of you agree that's an important question? And the Jews were divided, right? There were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Everybody remembers this? Now, some of the new people here might not know this yet, but the way to remember it is the Pharisees believed in eternal life. The Sadducees did not. That's why they were sad, you see. Okay, good. You guys got it. All right. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees. All right. So there was this big disagreement. Is there eternal life? Isn't there? Is there not eternal life? So they're asking Jesus. They're saying, "Rabbi, you tell us. What is it? Is there eternal life?" So Jesus, in his typical form, he asks the question back. He says, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the teacher answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "You answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked, "Well, who's my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" I want you to ask that question of yourself right now. Who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Jesus took up the question and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell in the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him, and fled, leaving him for dead, half dead. A priest happened to be going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan on the journey came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend.'" Now, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? And the religious leader answered, "The one who showed mercy to him." And Jesus said, "Go and do the same." Go and do the same. Now, we know that Jesus was using a Samaritan as an example in this story to put a dig in. Because guess who the Jews hated? The Samaritans. There's really bad blood there. And so he's saying a rabbi goes by, a religious leader goes by, a teacher, neither one of them stops. Who stops? The Samaritan. The Samaritan. So what did this guy do? Well, first of all, he saw him. The others saw him, didn't they? But they didn't really see him in his need. They just said, "Oh my gosh, there's a guy. Boy, ooh, it looks like he's almost dead. All right, I got to get to my appointment." They just kept going. Huh? Yeah. He saw him. The second thing he did is that he had compassion for him. He not only saw him, but he saw him in his need. He had compassion for him. And then he ministered to him. And then he provided for him. And then he was willing, and this is the most important thing, to be inconvenienced for him. That's where the rubber meets the road. Sue, I had no idea. Where is Sue? There she is. I had no idea you were going to share that story today. That was remarkable. From Dulles to the Chinese bus, back to wherever. I mean, that is, if you know the Chinese bus, the Rudy and Lorraine take it all the time to New York. It's the cheapest way to travel to New York. It's like $10 one way or 20 or something. I don't know what it is now, but it's crazy. They call it the Chinese bus. But that's remarkable. And that's what we see in this story, isn't it? I mean, think about it. The Samaritan was on the same road, so he's doing what? He's going somewhere. He's got a destination. He's not just on a vacation lounging around going, oh my gosh, there's a dead man. I better help him out, you know? I mean, this guy, he's going somewhere. It's dangerous to travel on this road to begin with. And he not only stops and helps him, but he could have just helped him and propped him up and, you know, taking care of him, put a little sign, you know, this guy needs help, and moved on, yeah? He puts him on his donkey and takes him to an inn. He stays there overnight and then gives the innkeeper money and then says, I'm coming back. When I come back this way, if there's more money needed, I'll pay you. Whoa! That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Well, let me show you a 30-second video, okay? That's going to capture this point. I told you I'm going to be brief. 30-second video, so you got to watch it, okay? But this message is going to come across loud and clear in 30 seconds. Run it.
Sometimes when we least expect it, grace enters our world. In that moment, we have a clearer understanding of Jesus Christ.
Pretty good, huh? That said more than I said in 10 minutes and 30 seconds. Said it all, doesn't it? And so that's the question that we need to ask each other. Concerning the ministry of helpfulness, are we ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God? Are we ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God? You know, the man in the video, he looked like he was going to work, yeah? Woman drops her groceries. She didn't even get on the bus. She was going somewhere else. Helps her, misses his bus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it this way: only where hands are not too good for deeds of love and mercy and everyday helpfulness can the mouth joyfully and convincingly proclaim the message of God's love and mercy. Wow. Powerful. Yeah. So that's my challenge for us today. Are we too busy to stop? And our lives are very, very busy. I mean, people who study social norms and things like that, sociologists and so forth, you know, there's no question about it. Our lives are busier than ever been. The modern conveniences have made life busier, you know. Because we can do more, we do more. Yes. So the challenge is to stop. To stop. And to help that person that needs help. To be Jesus to them. You know, to be his hands and his feet, to show the love of Christ. I believe that every time we do a work of good deed, we are pushing back the darkness. If you give a pint of blood, you don't know who that blood ends up going to. If it helps save somebody's life, you're pushing back the darkness. If you give money to the cancer fund, not knowing how or where it eventually ends up, you are pushing back the darkness. See, that was the point in Jesus' message. This guy didn't witness to the beggar, did he? The half-dead man? He didn't share the gospel with him. Not that there's anything wrong with that, believe me. But what did he do? He showed him the love of Christ.
He showed him the love of Christ. I think too often we are too concerned about getting people to heaven. There's two sides to the cross. The first side is Jesus, there on the cross. The opposite side is why he went to the cross, to bring glory to the Father. Everything that we're to be about is to bring glory to God. Everything you do, every aspect of your day, be it in your workplace, in your neighborhood, wherever God puts you, all that we're to do is to bring glory to God. And every time we do that, the kingdom of God is advancing. It's moving forward. It's moving forward. And that's what God wants us to be about, to advance his kingdom. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, hey, how about that? Hallelujah. Miracle. All right. Well, stand with me this morning, and I'm going to close this in prayer. I'm going to close this, and I also want to remind you that if any of you need prayer this morning, we'll have a prayer, and here's one of our prayer team members up here. We'd be happy to pray for you. And, yeah. And I want to, and as we close in prayer, I want you to ask yourself this question. You know, am I willing to be interrupted by God? And if you can't answer that question, or maybe the answer is no, then let's ask God to change our hearts, huh? Say, Lord, do whatever you need to do in my heart and my life to help me to be willing, to be available, to be able to be interrupted by you. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence this morning. Woo! Wow. Still here. Hasn't left. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Okay. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord. Lord, Lord, we don't want to be like the religious people that Jesus had so much trouble with. They were not willing to be interrupted. God, forgive us. Forgive us when we say, well, going to this meeting or going to this conference or going, or I need to have my prayer time, as important as all those things are, but we pass by. We fail to stop for the person that you've put in our life that needs us, that needs you, that needs to touch and experience your glory. Father, deliver us from being like the Sadducee or the Pharisee. Help us to be like Jesus, to follow his example. God, we want that everything that we say, everything we do, all of our lives, every bit of it, going to the baseball game, the Orioles starting here in another week, going on a picnic, going shoveling snow for our neighbors, whatever we do, Lord, may it all be for your glory. For your glory, Father. That's what we want. For your glory, Lord. Just as Jesus did. All that he did, everything he did, was for the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we leave here today, and as we start a new week, this being the first day of our new week, Lord, you're going to give us opportunities. Give us strength, give us courage, give us wisdom. Father, give us boldness to walk out your will for our lives, I pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each and every one, Lord. God, I pray you'd bless them. I pray you'd keep them. God, pray you'd make your face to shine upon them. Lift up your countenance upon them, O Lord, I ask. And Lord, just grant them your peace, your shalom, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you're dismissed. And again, if you'd like prayer, please avail yourself. Hallelujah. And we'll be here same time, same place next week. Some of us will.